Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning, good morning, all of you great, 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 great people of God, God's creation. I love it that he loved us so much, which is an intense feeling of deep affection. It's when a person loves something or one thing more than anything else. It's when they feel a deep romantic love. Some people call it other things, but one thing love isn't, this is not idolatry, and it's definitely not controlling. Love is tender, love is kind, love is endearing. Oh my God, love is a lot. And a matter of fact, the greatest definition of what love is, it's God. So let us pray, and welcome to Let's Talk. This is Cecilia. Father God, pen of sins of commission. We repent for sins of omission and every deed said or done and either thought or conceived in our heart that has not been pleasing in your sight, God. We thank you for being love. We thank you for not only being the definition of love, but being the picture, the image, everything that love is. We thank you that you've shown us how you love us so much that you don't try to control us. You love us so much that you didn't make us robots and you gave us free will. God, you love us so much that you give us the ability to decide to trust you and to love you back. You love us so much that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross for us. And that he loved us so much that he bore the stripes so that we would be healed by his stripes, because we are healed. He loved us so much until he ministered and healed and delivered and set free. We thank you that you and Jesus loved us so much that you would not leave us comfortless and that you sent your Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of us. We thank you, God, for the love that you've sent us, that you've given us, that you've shown us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. God, we thank you that you love us so much that when our hearts are overwhelmed, that we can go to the rock. We thank you, God, that when we feel depleted a little, if we feel drained, or if we feel in love, that we can come back to the rock and that we can pray in the Holy Ghost and that the Holy Ghost will fill us and refresh us and rejuvenate us. We thank you for your ministering angels that are encamped all around us. We thank you for your Lord reminding us that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God, to dwell under your shadow, to dwell in your shadow, to dwell in your wings, to be covered by your wings, to be touched by you, God, to be spoken to by you, God. We thank you for your love. We thank you for even those of us that are right now that are dealing with the loss of loved ones. And even Minister Denise, God, I call her out especially, for she lost her mother a couple of months ago, and now she's just lost her dad, not even 2 months apart, God. So we ask you, God, to encourage her, bring her to peace that surpasses all understanding. Comfort her, God, in the name of Jesus. Comfort her family. Cause them to come together as one family to worship you in spirit and in truth, God, and also to help each other through the losses of both of their parents. We ask you in the name of Jesus to even comfort our family as we're dealing with the loss of my father's living youngest sister. We thank you that you would encourage the hearts of his other sisters and siblings that are still here, God, and the children and the nieces and the nephews and the grandchildren, God, that we're such a tight-knit family, and yet we have room to even grow in our love for one another. Teach us how to love one another unconditionally, God. Teach us how to take this time that appears to be a lost to us, but a gain to heaven. That God, that you would use it to show us how it is so much better to be where you are and with you, and to be even in that place of transition of knowing that our loved one prayed a prayer of faith. And that's what we pray, that every loved one in their lifetime would live to serve you, to honor you, to glorify you, to obey you, to know you. And even if they haven't, if it's in the 11th hour, God, that they would have the ability to utter the words of that they repent, and that they confess that Jesus Christ was virgin born, that they confess that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, that even in their dying breath, that they could come and be escorted into heaven. God, so that they can hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, so they could hear your words and know that you've already forgiven them, that you've already accepted them as your sons and your daughters that are cleansed and holy through the blood of Jesus and through the word of God. God, we thank you for the testimonies of so many of their loved ones being saved, and so that the day that they transition from earth, one with you, that even on the day of judgment, God, that it will be a day of you will see nothing but the blood of Jesus and your love that will cause them to be able to be reconciled back unto you. We thank you for the restoration. We thank you for the love. We thank you for the encouragement. God, give us the ability to know that we can know that you know without a doubt that we shall be whole and we shall be complete. We shall worship you in spirit and truth, for they that worship you must worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray for Apostle Sandra Thomas, that she will be whole and blessed, and that she will have the desires of her heart. God, we thank you that even on this side of heaven, God, that she's a walking miracle. And not only is she a walking miracle, God, but she's your mouthpiece, she's your daughter. We pray for even our siblings, my sisters, God, that you will give them the desires of their heart. I pray for my nieces and nephews and my great nieces and nephews. I pray for my son, Minister Kaiser, God, that you will cause him to do great things, to preach the gospel from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Many people are preaching from the pulpit and forgetting to preach when they leave out of the pulpit. Help us to know that the pulpit is everywhere we go, for we're walking, living epistles, and that it's not about what we're preaching in the sermons all the time as much as it is what are we preaching in our lives? What are we preaching every minute, every millisecond of our lives? What are we preaching when we're not even speaking? What is our body language saying? What is our behavior saying? What are our nonverbal gestures saying? Does it say love? Does it say I trust God? To love like you love, to hate like you hate, and to hate those things that you hate, not that man would cause us to hate. I pray for the White House. I pray for the leadership in the White House. I pray for the servants in the White House, God, that they will come in line with knowing who you are for real, and that we would be a nation that is truly in God we trust. Not the little G's, but the one and only true and living God. For it could be true that it's a land of in God we trust, but it could be the wrong God, idolatry God. It could be the God that is not real. It could be even be those that are worshiping the enemy of our souls. But God, we ask you that America, that the United States of America, that this nation will come back to you. For there is a great outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We know that your word declares that there will be a great falling away. But God, we know that prior to the great falling away, there first has to be a great draw. So draw them unto you as we lift up to Jesus, and as we lift up Jesus so that he can draw men unto him. And in that time, they will be drawn unto you and reconciled back unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I thank you for those of you who had to be patient as I prayed instead of praying with me. I thank you for those that are still listening, that may have said you want to hear some passion of praying that was loud and full of zeal. But on today, the prayers of the righteous that avail as much don't always require a lot of loud or, as some people would charismatic or just a whole lot of everything but sincerity. The prayer I have today is truly for those that are heavy-hearted. We have suffered a loss in our family, and we're going to go and support our family during this time. I'm on the whole other side of the United States, and I'm going to be traveling to another side. But see, that's what love does. Love will say, if I need to drive next door to show you I love you, I got you. Love says, if I need to drive from one side of the world to a whole other side of the world to support you, to be there for you, I'm going to do it. Because see, some people will say, you should have showed them love while they were alive. And that's true. But one thing we have to remember is that some people, during the time of loss, they really, 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 really need somebody there with them. Because sometimes when you're sick and there's nobody there with you, it's hard. We know that. But people also forget that even in the Bible, it talks about how the mourners were there when Lazarus died. We have to be there to mourn with people. You know, we cry with them, we sing with them, and we dance with them. We enjoy life with them, but we're also those people that will be there. So, yes, if we were to leave from the Midwest, it would be a 28-hour drive. If I was to drive from here straight in the D.C. area, it would be over 38-hour drive. See, love will do that kind of stuff. Love will say, I'll put this off and that off. If I've got to get there, I'm going to get there. I had an incident, I had an opportunity to, I stayed up until around, I'd say, midnight doing homework. And yet I had my sister in Christ that needed to go to the airport. Because of the love of Christ that God has placed within me for the people of God, unctioned me. Not I unctioned me, but God unctioned me to go and actually take her to the airport. Some people might say, well, what's so big about that? There's nothing big about it. But I'm just talking about the love for God's people and the love to be there for someone when they're mourning, even when you're mourning. So to put my feelings and my heavy heart aside, but to get up and at 4 o'clock in the morning, which means that I went to bed at 12, so I probably fell asleep around 1 or 1:30. So that meant I had to get up around 3 or 3:30. So that means maybe 1-2 hours sleep at the most, and go and see about God's daughter and take her to the airport and pray for her. Yeah, I said, you're right, that we're dealing with a loss. But see, the love of God teaches and allows us others first and to put him first. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 5. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. So for those of you that have said, well, did you say what you said to be braggadocious, audacious, or proud? No, I said it to show you that my heart was heavy and I needed encouragement and I needed someone praying with me and for me during a loss. But yet God sent me to pray and encourage someone else, because that's the kind of God we serve, that you'll see people injured and hurting themselves, and they'll give selfless service for many. I'm going to say this, and I want you to hear my heart. There are many pastors and apostles and evangelists and teachers that are hurting themselves, but they'll put their own self aside to minister and to be there for others. I'm not talking about putting the church first and not taking care of their families. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about people that can be sick in their bodies. So, yes, people that are pastors, teachers, and preachers, they do get sick too. Even though we know that the elders can come and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, even Paul had a thorn in his side. And I think you do remember that we are healed by his stripes. We are healed. And I think you do remember that even prophet, read your word, that died, and even his bones were able to heal and revive a dead man that was thrown on top of his bones. Psalms 143:8 says, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you, talking about God. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life, talking about God, and trusting your life to God. Do everything in love. That's 1 Corinthians 16:14, meaning chapter 16:14. And then Proverbs 3:3-4 says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. But see, you remember it said God and man. So God first. Many people are saying that they love someone and they're controlling them, they're manipulating them, they're mistreating them. That's not love. If the person you're with says they love you, but they're trying to control everywhere you go, the people you talk to, if they're doing harmful things to you, that's not love. Look at the definition of love through the eyes of God. He gave his only son. He protects us and he blesses us and he even allows us to honor one another, not worship one another. But he teaches us of his unconditional love. He does not make us robots. He has not tried to micromanage us. He has not tried to control us and manipulate us. He loves us, and he allows us to choose if we're going to serve him or if we're going to serve the enemy of our souls, our flesh. And why do I say the enemy of our soul, our flesh? Because when we serve our flesh, we serve the devil. But when we serve God, it'll be evidence in the fact that when people hear and see what we say, because we're going to be continually asking God for wisdom. For if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. And that's in James. And so therefore, when we're asking God for wisdom, that means we're saying, God, I want to do things your way. I want to say things that you want me to say. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to be selfless like you are. God isn't selfish with an F. He's selfless with an L in a whole nother way that just blesses not only you and I, but blesses the world. Colossians 3 and 14. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. 1 John 4 and 16. And so we know, rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Let me tell you about love. Love will make you get one of those jobs that has you driving on the highways and the byways to take care of your children and your loved ones. Love causes you to even help your children to mature, not by enabling them, but sometimes they have to be encouraged to go to school or to move out on their own to do different things so that they can stop having you as their God and start learning how to depend on God as God. Love says, I don't understand what's going on. I don't even necessarily have to like what's going on. But because I trust you, God, and I know that your love surpasses anything that I could ever imagine in my heart, I know that your love is so genuine. I know that your love is so pure for me, God, that all I'm going to say is yes, Lord. For I'm going to lean not onto my own understanding, but in all my ways I'm going to acknowledge you, God. For even as the word says in 1 John 4 and 19, we love because he first loved us. 1 Peter 4 and 8 says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 17. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. That's even when you're praying, when the Holy Spirit is strengthening you in your inner being. And then it goes on to say, for that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, pray that you be rooted and established in love, not like, not lust, not what this world is calling love, but what God calls love. Unconditional love. Love isn't about me, 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 me. Love is about servitude. Love is about respect. Love is about trust. Love is sincere. Love is good. Corinthians 13 and 13 says, and now there are three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Romans 12 and 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. 1 Corinthians 13 and 2. If I have the gift of prophecy, all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. I'm talking about what the Word of God says. listen to what the Word of God says about love in a marriage. Ephesians 5:25-26. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word. The word of God is love. Isaiah 14, verses 15 and 16. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands, and your walls are ever before me. You know, some people might say, but my mother didn't do this. My father didn't do that. My siblings didn't do this. My aunts and my uncles didn't do this. My nieces and my nephews didn't do this. My grandchildren didn't do this. My sons and my daughters didn't do this. This, and this. But one thing you cannot say is that God doesn't love you. After you finish with all of your complaining on what people haven't done and what they said, know that love covers a multitude of sin. How do I know? Because we just read the scripture a few scriptures ago that says that. Now, one of the things that lust differs than love is the intimacy of love in God's definition is an endless love. When my parents died, first my mother passed, and then my father passed. But his love for my mother was that of which God has ordained. Meaning that when God says, when a husband and a wife, when they marry, they're to cleave and become one. So don't count it strange when one would pass and the other would want to pass also, and that they would transition. Because a truly cleaved marriage, a truly cleaved relationship means that they're one. They're one in life and even sometimes in death. And only God can heal the hurt and hard from a cleaved and within a cleaved relationship. If you ever look at something that's been woven together, it's really one now. It was two things that are now one. And now when you break them apart, they now look like two broken things. But at one time, they were one. And so when God allows that cleaved marriage to be that secure in him and through him, through the love that he's given them for one another, you can understand even how many parents, Denise's parents, had a love for each other that the father wanted to go and be with his wife. Are they together in heaven? Or where are they? The one thing you do know is that there's a three-strand cord in marriage. And when that three-strand cord comes together like it's supposed to, it's undeniable and it's unbreakable. This or that may come. People may do this or say that, or this may come and try it, whether it's financial difficulties or even financial success. Who don't understand that even financial success is sad to say, but it can tear a marriage apart. It can tear a relationship apart. It can tear a family apart. Many times people talk about how marriages and relationships and families broke up over financial difficulties. But you need to look at the finances that were increased in that family. The great money that came in, and even in those families, it caused divide. So sometimes the financial problems can be that for increase or decrease. But see, in God, is bigger than money. When you are in a relationship with God, you love him, and he loves you. When you have plenty, and he loves you even when you're in the in-betweens, and he loves you even when you're in the what world calls lack. But some people may not have all of the houses and lands and things that a lot of these multi-millionaires and billionaires may have that are on the enemy side of our soul. But sometimes they don't have the peace that surpasses all understanding that's priceless. And there's also some believers that are blessed to be of great wisdom and of great finances because God can trust them. See, that's what some of us forget to pray for. We pray for the increase, but we forget to pray for the wisdom to go with the increase like Solomon did. He prayed for wisdom, and God gave him more than that. But in his life, he fell away from the virtues that he had as a child. My prayer is that God would not only bless me and my family to have the increase and the wisdom, but the ability to stay. You see what I'm saying? Not to get it and then to fall away from God, but to get it and to draw closer to God because of knowing that he was the source of that increase, that financial blessing, that promotion. Because as God did these things, we used it to do more for him. And the things that we do, the places that we go, the things that we say, our life in general. John 15:12, my love is this, love each other as I have loved you. That's what we've been talking about. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. That's selflessness. That selflessness that will cause you to drive over 38 miles, that will cause you to drive over 3,800 miles. I'm going to keep on going. That love that will cause you to fly over 3,800 miles. That love that will cause you to use your leave and your vacation to go and be supportive of your family during a time of transition where you may just want to be in a room by yourself, just want to deal with it, shutting in with God, and that's good. But sometimes God will have you put that on hold so that you can go there and encourage someone else, or so that you can bring words of wisdom in a time of transition. You don't have to be the person giving the eulogy or the person on the pulpit to give words of encouragement. Your life can encourage someone else. Your situations and circumstances that God has brought you through can be an encouragement to someone else. Someone on today is dealing with a loss in many areas of your life, closer to God. Let his love make you whole. Let God's love make you complete. Let God's love give you the joy unspeakable. Let God's love give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. Let God's love remind you that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, thou shalt condemn, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Let God's love remind you of who you are in him and through him and with him. Let God's love remind you there is something more to life than just what you feel, just what you're going through, but that we should love one another, that we should honor one another. Many of us are honoring this person or that person because of the position they have in church or the position they have on your job or the position that they have in the White House. But how many of us are just honoring one another? The people that work for you, the people that work with you, the people that work alongside you, people you don't even know. How many of you show honor and respect enough to say, oh, here's somebody running for the elevator. I'm going to hold the door. Simple things. How many of us love one another enough to see someone struggling and carrying some things and we run over to help them, not to get a coin or accolades, but because we see someone in a struggle? How many of us will use our points or our money to get someone from point A to point B? 1 John 4:12 says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ persevere. Let's read this, John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Some of you may not understand, but many people that join the military are willing to lay down their lives. They're willing to do what it takes to keep the freedoms that God has afforded us so that we won't have to walk a certain way, talk a certain way, dress a certain way, look a certain way, to be manipulated and controlled by an evil leader. But yet, we forget the veterans when they come back. We forget to give them the honor they deserve. And some of them may have went in for the wrong reason. And some of them may have went in for the right reason. But the point is, some of them are combat soldiers and veterans who are not only maybe living on the street homeless for various reasons, but they have found no honor in their neighborhood. They have found no honor in their home when some of the very people in their neighborhoods and in their homes have never been in the military, didn't do what it took to keep a nation free. People don't understand about the wailing and praying and travailing women and the men that are praying and the various people that are in the various upper rooms praying, wailing and travailing in the Holy Ghost and praying to God to keep a neighborhood or a people safe. There's many people praying for us, you and I, each and every one of us here and there and so many other places. But sometimes the hooper and the holler are getting the honor, and that's okay, that's good. We're forgetting to honor those that are in the background praying. They're praying and interceding while that word is coming forth. They're praying and interceding before, during, and after the word is coming forth. They've got to learn how to honor one another, and not just offices of prestige, or not just those offices that people seek, but to really, really, really honor one another. Isaiah 43:4 says, you are precious and honored in my sight. Talking about God saying that we are precious and honored. And because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you and nations in exchange for your life. Jesus, as precious as he was, he King of Kings and Lord of Lords, gave his life for each and every one of us. Why? Because of this, Romans 13:8. Let no debt remain outstanding except continuing debt and love one another. For whoever loves others will fulfill the law. Why? Because he loved us. So that the debt for sin was already paid by Jesus. And as we confess that he is King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he is virgin born, that he is the one and only true and living God, we confess it with our mouths and we believe it in our heart that Jesus is Lord. When we do that change, that exchange, we have accepted that paid debt, that debt of by his stripes we're already healed. He's purchased our salvation. He's purchased our healing. He's purchased our wholeness. He's purchased our blessings to be a blessing. He's purchased us being the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. He's purchased us loving and honoring one another. He's purchased it. It's already done. 1 Corinthians 2:9. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Hear anything else today? Love is the principal thing. Love is not controlling. Love is not manipulating, but love is God's kind of love. Unconditional love. So thank you for hearing us on today and agreeing with us in love. Don't forget to call in tomorrow night for Iron Sharpening Iron with Minister Sylvia and Minister Brandon. Don't forget to call in on Friday nights for God Still Heals with our own Elder Kathy Kendall. And we thank you for being on the air with Minister Kaiser and I on every Sunday for Let's Talk. And don't forget, Let's Talk is 8 a.m. to Standard Time every Sunday. Let's Talk is what it's called. And then Iron Sharpening Iron is on at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Monday. And then Let's Talk is on the air every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So we thank you for all of your prayers. We thank you for all of your support. We thank you for all of the honor that you give one another. We thank you for all of the love, the true love that you show one another. Because God is love. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the message on love. We thank you for reminding us to live and walk out love. We thank you, God, for teaching us to ask for wisdom. For if any man lacks wisdom, your word said all we have to do is ask. Thank you, God, for we won't lean on our understanding, and we will acknowledge you, God. We thank you, God, for we will lift up Jesus so that he can draw all men unto him. We thank you, God, that we will know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We thank you for when you said that it was good, and then Jesus said that it was finished, that it is now. We thank you that everything that we could ever want or need is in you, God. We thank you for even reminding us to pray in the Holy Ghost. But when our hearts are overwhelmed, we have to come to you, God. We have to come to the rock. Thank you for reminding us that we can dwell in that secret place under the canopy of your protection, God, according to Psalms 91. We thank you for reminding us to enter into your gates with thanksgiving and to your courts with praise. We thank you for reminding us to worship you in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him, for they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We thank you for reminding us that by Jesus Christ we're already healed. We thank you for reminding us that we are blessed in the city and blessed in the field, above and not beneath. We thank you that we're the lender and not the borrower. Thank you for the increase, not only in promotions, God, and not only in finances, God, but in love and wisdom. and faith in you and hope in you, God, in every area of our lives. Have your way, and we surrender to you, God, saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And we thank you, and we thank you, and we thank you. Even when we don't know what's going or what's going to be uncovered, what's going to be exposed, but we ask you every area in our lives that does not align with you, that it will be decoded and exposed and laid at the altar so that we can lay aside every weight that will so easily beset us, God. Pleasing in your sight. Have your way in our lives. Amen and amen. So until tomorrow, bye-bye.